Hi, everyone. Mallory here, and welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a really fun topic here, and I say fun in a very sarcastic sense of the word. We're going to talk about sleep paralysis, a phenomenon that affects slightly less than 8% of the population, with most people only experiencing it once or twice in their lifetime. Then there are those lucky few who are commonly plagued with this experience all the time. I would unfortunately fall into that last group, which is why this is such a relevant topic I think we should be discussing right now, because it also, while it falls into medical and scientific topics, it also kind of falls a bit into metaphysics. So I thought it'd be fun to bring up, maybe because I've been having a bunch of it this past weekend. I guess we'll start with, what is sleep paralysis? If you're asking this, it's likely that you were one of the few lucky people who has not experienced sleep paralysis in their lifetime. Let me just say I'm very jealous of you if that's the case. Or perhaps you've only experienced it once or twice. Supposedly, only 7.6% of the general population experience sleep paralysis at least once in their lifetime. However, scientists believe it's likely anywhere between 7.6 and 50% of the population are actually experiencing it, as it's likely most people who experience it don't actually report it. Scientists refer to the experience of rapid eye movement, or REM, while you're awake as sleep paralysis. What does this mean? Well, in layman's terms, your mind can wake up from sleep before your body does, leaving your body paralyzed and unable to move while your mind is awake and functioning. Sometimes you may be able to open your eyes throughout the experience, although I have never had this happen to me. Usually during sleep paralysis, I have a full panoramic spatial layout of everything around me in the room, but my eyes are still closed. Despite having my eyes closed, I know if my husband is next to me and if there is a pet in the room or if there's something going on. Physical and mental symptoms of sleep paralysis might include the perception of a dangerous person or presence in the room, the feeling of suffocation, feelings of movement such as flying or out-of-body sensations. A lot of people claim they see like a demon or they feel some dark presence coming after them and they can't move, and that is basically what sleep paralysis is. While experiencing sleep paralysis, it's also common to feel your chest tightening, to feel your heart racing, and to have your breathing become a little bit faster or more labored. Why are you experiencing sleep paralysis, you might ask? Well, if you're a teenager, that alone is likely the reason why you're experiencing this phenomenon. Luckily for you, you will eventually most likely grow out of it altogether, as most people do. Many who believe in psychic phenomena believe it happens a lot of the time to young intuitives as they begin to grow and discover their power as well. Unfortunately, if you're an adult like me, it's not that easy. Studies have linked stress disorders such as anxiety, PTSD, and panic disorder to sleep paralysis. And in my case, that's actually likely it, as I've been diagnosed with panic disorder after having some issues while traveling in Finland. So apparently there is a connection there. Experts recommend drinking less caffeine, especially before bed, and keeping on a more regular schedule to keep it from occurring as frequently. If sleep paralysis is something that you have experienced in the past but you haven't in years, and then you experience it again, there's likely a habit change that's causing it to surface. In my case, it's usually jet lag. Jet lag is actually a regular cause of sleep paralysis, so if you've recently traveled, that could be the answer. This also checks out for me, as usually when I go on big trips overseas, once I come back, I have a heck of a time trying to adjust back and not have sleep paralysis, and I usually have weeks and weeks of it once I return from a big trip overseas. But let's go back to the beginning, for me at least. The first time sleep paralysis happened to me was when I was a teenager. In fact, as I said before, it's much more common for this to happen to teenagers instead of grown adults. In fact, I experienced this phenomena almost every single day of my teenage years when I woke up having not gone to school for the day, so usually the weekends or throughout the summer. Any day I was able to sleep in, I instead woke up with my body still and unable to move. Unlike the way I've seen it portrayed in TV, and most famously probably in the new adaptation they did of The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, I've never been able to open my eyes while experiencing sleep paralysis, but apparently a lot of people claim that they can. Instead, as I mentioned before, I have spatial awareness around me for everything in the room, and yet I can't actually open my eyes, which is a very interesting experience in itself. When I was younger, I quickly learned how to thrust myself to the side, where eventually if I used enough force, I would be able to roll over and wake myself up. but that is probably the hardest way I've ever had to go about waking up out of sleep paralysis, but it did used to work for me on occasion. Gradually, I learned that by wiggling my fingers, I could start a bit of movement in my body. Then I could begin to advance the experience by moving my full hand, which in turn would lead me to shaking my whole arm and then waking myself up. So if you ever find yourself stuck in sleep paralysis, you're probably not going to remember anything I'm saying now because that is not going to be on your mind. But try to start small with movements, move little things like your fingers, your hands, and then grow from there. And then once you're able to move your whole arm, you're likely able to then wake yourself up. Growing up, I went through the whole gamut of sleep paralysis experiences. I had it happen when I was still partially dreaming and wasn't in control of my thoughts, though more often than not, I'm fully awake and completely in control of everything. I've felt the evil presence that people tend to talk about when they go through sleep paralysis. I felt the sensation that I couldn't breathe, and also that someone was pushing on my chest or grabbing my heart, almost like a heart attack experience where you can't really breathe. However, 99% of the time for me, it's just me being conscious in my body, which is incapable of movement at that time. As I mentioned, it's occurred in my adult life all the time, so I was lucky enough to train my husband to know when I was experiencing it so he could wake me up. My vocal cords actually do still somehow work throughout the experience, so I learned how to make this strange grunting noise that my husband would recognize. And after 10 plus years of experiencing this with me, he's like, oh, okay, I need to wake her up. So thankfully, when he is there, I can at least have an easy way out just by making noises, and he quickly wakes me up. Other times he's seen me move my hands really strangely and been like, oh, and that works too. So if you're going through this and you have a partner that's with you, I highly recommend letting them know, because I would much rather be woken up and him think I'm in sleep paralysis and I'm not, than be stuck there for what seems like an eternity with him not waking me up. So I would definitely have that conversation. So let's talk a little bit about sleep paralysis and out-of-body experiences, or OBEs. When I speak with people who regularly meditate or those who have a strong interest in the metaphysical world, they usually tell me that sleep paralysis is the springboard to having an out-of-body experience. Many believe that if you overcome your fears in sleep paralysis and instead of focusing on waking yourself up, you focus your mind on a location away from your body, you'll be able to project yourself out of your body. While I haven't yet been able to train my mind to not panic when this happens, I guess this could be a new goal I set for myself. Perhaps I can change my mindset about sleep paralysis, and instead of panicking, I can think of it as an opportunity to leave my body and learn and explore. After all, as I've said before and I'll say again, your mindset really does color any experience you have. And while I most definitely can't call sleep paralysis a positive experience, perhaps I can learn to make the best of a bad experience and use it as a way to explore greater into the studies of consciousness. So if you find yourself in sleep paralysis and you want to wake up, more power to you. That's me every time it happens to me. So just use the tips that I gave you. Start small, move your fingers, allow it to grow until you're moving your arm, and get yourself up from there. But if you're looking to have an OBE, perhaps you can move through your fear, which is very hard, by the way. I'm not saying that lightly because I can't do it, and focus on the space around you in your bedroom. Visualize yourself out of your body and in your room, and in theory, you may just be able to project yourself there. From there, supposedly, if you focus on the space in front of you bit by bit, you can project your consciousness or awareness to move through your home and anywhere else you'd like to go. This is supposed to be the basis of having an OBE, or at least one of the ways to get out there and do it. So if you're able to do it, I encourage it. So as we've mentioned before about sleep paralysis, there are different kinds. Sometimes you are full on dreaming and you're not in control of your thoughts, and then other times you are. And I am thankful that that is the type of sleep paralysis I usually am capable of experiencing. I felt that I was in a good position with advantage in my sleep paralysis experiences, as I've generally been in full control of my mind throughout most of my episodes. So I can problem solve, which is definitely beneficial in that situation. Naturally, when I was younger, the first way I learned to get out of it wasn't the easiest way to deal with the problem, but it was most definitely effective after some time. I learned to try and shake myself awake. Despite being paralyzed, if you can focus enough willpower on your body and keep trying to fling yourself over on your side, eventually, after dozens of tries, you will wake up with your body flopping over, hopefully anyway. Though the amount of strength, focus, and tries that takes is never easy, and you could also be in a position where you throw yourself out of bed. So be careful about that. As I grew more into adulthood and began living with my then-boyfriend, now husband, in college, the sleep paralysis continued over and over and never really calmed down. Luckily for me, I trained my husband to understand what it looked like when I was having an episode and how to help me out of it. I learned very quickly that I still had access to my vocal cords while I was in sleep paralysis, so the easiest way for me to notify him that there was a problem was making these grunt-like noises. So I learned to quickly make this shrill, grunt-like, kind of to alert him in any situation. When I began having episodes and I knew he was in bed next to me, as I told you, I had that spatial awareness, he would quickly realize that that was the sleep paralysis noise, and he'd shake me awake. Luckily, I can shake quickly awake with ease if someone realizes what's going on. Not only did that work so well for us in college, it actually helped me to break my cycle of sleep paralysis. As I grew into an adult, I eventually stopped experiencing these episodes altogether for a while. That is, until I experienced times of extreme changes to my schedule. I've learned that my body really does rely heavily on a particular schedule. My circadian rhythm is very, very important to me. So I'm quick to have issues when it gets thrown off in my sleep schedule. So it's imperative for me to stay on schedule and stick to a careful plan when I'm not traveling, and to be very cautious of setting a schedule while I am traveling. When I was in Germany for close to 2 weeks this past year, that was the perfect time for me to slide back into my old habits. While I thankfully adjusted really well to my schedule in Germany, I found that my transition to my schedule back home was actually pretty difficult. I had to force myself to stay awake to normal times the first week I was back, as my body really stuck on that German time, which was 9 hours ahead of LA time. I would do pretty well until about 10 p.m., and I would inevitably just crash. Particularly because my husband goes to bed early too, so I would just fall asleep when he did. Because I was going to bed earlier than ever, yet my body was still used to sleeping in until 8 or 9 p.m. my time, because I really don't like waking up, my body got confused and did its own thing. So I would go to bed very early, get much more than 8 hours of sleep, but my body still wanted to sleep in later due to my normal schedule. So I found myself experiencing sleep paralysis every day for the first week or two I was back in town. Gosh, my old friend was back. It was so exciting. Unfortunately, my husband gets up earlier than me now, so for most of these episodes, he wasn't around to help. So I was back to relying on some of my old tricks. The most effective way I've found to get rid of sleep paralysis, if you're on your own, and is to start small in some kind of movement and to then increase it. I focus on moving just a small part of my body first. So I focus on the tip of my finger. It's easiest to control any small part and then allow that movement to grow. So I begin tapping my finger. Then with more focus, I can turn that finger tap into a full shaking of my hand. With enough continued focus, I can turn that hand shake into a full arm shake that inevitably wakes me up. So now if you find yourself in sleep paralysis with no one nearby, I highly, highly recommend focusing on moving just your finger and allowing that intention to grow in your hand and inevitably into your full arm. That's what works for me, but you're always going to find something different that probably works best for you. But I can't stress enough small movements that gradually move into bigger movements, and then you'll have control. If you're lucky enough to have someone with you, talk to them about what's going on, and I recommend coming up with a signal for them, something you know that you can do, like a grunt or like a finger tap or something, to let them know to wake you up. Another funny story, actually, when I came back from, I think, South Africa this past year, it was the same problem, same exact time difference, 9 hours. From Los Angeles, and I was experiencing some killer sleep paralysis. I actually couldn't produce the vocal sounds I normally could, and my husband was with me, so I started violently, like, shaking my hands and my arms. Like, I started small and grew from there, and I was tapping his back because I could actually feel him, and he thought I was having a seizure. So I don't know, it must have not been a pretty experience, because apparently I was violently shaking. So on my end, I thought everything was okay. I'm gonna just, like, tap him here a whole bunch, he'll wake me up, and he thought I was having a seizure. So definitely have that conversation with your partner if you are lucky enough to have a partner that will be there for you to get you out of this. Or I have to say, if you're up for the challenge of turning your experience into an OBE, then I say go for it. That is something I have not yet gotten over my fear for, but maybe one day I will. You know, I work a lot with the Monroe Institute, which is a spiritual center, a research center that studies consciousness in Faber, Virginia. And every time I talk about sleep paralysis, there is always somebody there that's like, oh, you're so lucky. You know, you can have an OBE from that. And I'm like, you know, I don't feel very lucky, but okay. And I do wish, that is a goal of mine, to turn that mindset. Because like I said, the world is what you make it. And I'm looking to shift that perspective to maybe become a positive and get up the courage to try to turn that into an out-of-body experience. So this is another little short one today. It just was came up with great relevancy, so I thought it would be fun to talk about here for the podcast. Please, if you guys have had your own sleep paralysis issues in the past, or if you have anything to say about it, or if you have some tips and tricks that you yourself use to get out of sleep paralysis, or if you just want to talk about your experiences, because everybody's experience in sleep paralysis is different, I'd of course love to hear this. So be sure to reach out on Mallory's Adventures on Instagram or Weird World Adventures on Instagram and Facebook, and I would love to hear more about it. This is just kind of skimming the surface into consciousness studies. I would like to go a little more in depth in the future here into the studies of consciousness. But here's just a light little skim that it's something I think most people, we just heard 7 to 50%, but I will say I think most people in their lives have experienced sleep paralysis at least once. So it's kind of everybody's little into the world of consciousness. So we're going to talk about that in the future. And until next time, I hope you guys stay weird.